band-aid on my finger. I tried to drill holes in my finger.
Start with number 20 when I see the word. I think so. Once, twice. I'm going to try I gave my life to thee. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Let's take our hymn books and turn to page number 20. When I see the blood. Let's stand, please.
Our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all the due. All who receive him need never fear. Yes, he will pass over you. Over you, deepest of sinners, Jesus can save. As he has promised, so will he do. Oh, sinner, hear him, trust in his word. Then he will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood. I will pass over you. Judgment is coming, all will be there, who have rejected, who have refused. Oh, sinner, hasten, let Jesus in, then God will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I will pass over you.
Number 4.
Oh, what compassion, oh, boundless love. Jesus hath power, Jesus is true. All who believe are safe from the storm. Oh, he will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, I just want to thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for all your many blessings. Lord, thank you for keeping us safe. We do thank you for this rain this morning, Lord, that how we've needed some rain, Lord, and I pray you just use it, Lord, and I do pray today that your spirit come down and minister unto us, Lord, and use Brother Jeff as a mighty vessel, Lord, to be used by you. And we do thank you. We do pray you forgive us for our sin, Lord, and if anything's here to hinder your spirit from working, I pray you'd remove it. And it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's turn to page number 30, Nothing But the Blood. Page number 30.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Number three.
Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Number four.
This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good to be here today. I appreciate everyone coming. I do apologize. You say, preacher, what's the deal with the strings? Well, it's to keep boundaries. Don't mess with the strings, all right? And so I'm trying to keep us at as tight of a 6 foot as we can for social distancing. I'm not wearing a mask unless I'm absolutely forced to wear a mask. And so I don't want us to have to come in. Plus, it's hard to sing in a mask. And you do what you want. You want to wear it? Amen. You wear it. You don't want to wear it? That's why I've got us at 6 foot. But with that, I ask us to come in and go home. Come to your pew. If you got to go to the bathroom, fine, go to the bathroom, then get back to your seat. No wandering around. You say, preacher, the drinking fountain's not off limits. I don't care. You want to suck water out of it? You suck water out of it. I'm not. Amen. I haven't turned it off. That's what you're asking. But nonetheless, it is time to tighten up the ship. We kind of get relaxed from time to time. It's just like spiritual things. We get relaxed from time to time. I just want us to stay. Listen, I don't know about y'all, but I didn't like the 2 weeks. I didn't like the 2 weeks. I'm thankful that everyone's well, but I didn't like the 2 weeks. And I don't want us to have to do it again. So with that, be wise. If you're sick, stay home. We've got a couple I ask you to keep for to pray for Brother Stephen. And pray for his family that they don't get worse. But pray for him. Of course, his test did come back negative, at least one of them. And I'm thankful for that. But do continue to pray for him and his recovery. They stayed at home. Brother Russell's not feeling well. Sister Hope, do pray for them as well. Not COVID-related necessarily, but just not feeling well. You say, preacher, I don't have COVID. Listen to me. I don't want your strep throat either. I don't want your flu either. I'm just being honest with you. I don't want your snot on the door handle. So stay home. If you're sick, stay home. I'd rather all stay safe. Wouldn't that be great? Amen. And we don't have to shut down the church again. That would be a blessing as well. So you pray. You say, preacher, you know, I don't know what to do. If you're in question, stay home. Because it's not just me and my family. It's everyone else is affected by our decisions that we make as an individual. So just be wise. That's why trick-or-treating's an evil holiday anyway. Amen? Amen. Amen. I know, you're going to say, preacher, I was expecting that in the message. I just thought I'd get it out there early. Amen. Amen. And here's another thing. You say, preacher, you know, today's All Saints Day. No, it's not. Amen. Today's the day for the living. Amen. Jesus arose on the first day of the week. Amen. I'm not going to preach at all about the dead. I'm going to preach about the living. Amen. Just thought I'd put that out there too. I do ask you to continue to pray for the church. I do praise the Lord that no one has gotten sick, and I'm thankful for that. But in the same sense, do pray for safety every day for our church and our church family. Also, promote the YouTube. I'm thankful we're up to 113 subscribers on YouTube. Amen. And you say, preacher, how in the world's that work? I don't know. Just ask the Lord. We've even got a church in Scotland that's subscribed to our page. I'm thankful for that. I do encourage you. Like I had told you before, there's a song on there, The Beggar and the King, that this man's singing. And boy, I'm telling you, he's singing from the Holy Spirit. And you go on there, listen to it. It'll be a blessing to you. I do have the new calendars out. And got a business meeting this coming Wednesday night. And that's really all the announcements I have. I do want to thank those that are promoting it and visitors. It's good to see we had a visitor on Wednesday night. It was good to see him on. And I hope he'll tune in again and be a part of it. It's been good to have Brother John Ridings on with us. I of course, I'm not right there by the phone, so I don't know who all's on with us right now. But it warms my heart to have Brother John with us and just be able to talk back and forth with him. Haven't ever met him personally. But I do pray for him every day, and I hope you do as well, as well as all of our missionaries. We've got a lot of missionaries that God has truly been a blessing to us, and I hope to be a blessing to them. Amen, amen. So it's good to have him on as well. Amen. Well, that's all the announcements I have. Once again, we're still not collecting offering. If you want, on the way out the door, there's a jug there, and we'll be able to put it in. And I just thank the Lord for what he's done, keeping the church going, and faithfulness of the church, and I do appreciate that. Appreciate all of them coming and tuning in. I think that Wednesday night, we had a lot of people on with us Wednesday night, and that's an encouragement. It's amazing we have more people online with us on a Wednesday night than we do in the house on a Wednesday night. Amen. But nonetheless, I'm thankful for that. Amen. Brother, you got another song?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
We're going to try number 7, I Gave My Life for Thee.
Amen.
I hadn't known a very long pastor. Was when we was quarantining at the house, he was singing it, and I like it. Amen. So we're going to try it out.
Amen.
Page number 7. Now let's stand, please.
I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou my ransom be, and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given me? I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me? My Father's house of light, my glory circle throne, I left for earthly night, for wandering sad and lone. I left it all for thee, as thou left all for me. I left it all for thee, as thou lived on for me. Number 3. I suffered much for thee, more than thy tongue can tell, a bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. I've borne it all for thee, what hast thou borne for me? I've borne it all for thee, what hast thou borne for me? Number 4. And I have brought to thee, down from my home above, salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee, what hast thou brought to me? I bring rich gifts to thee, what hast thou brought to me? Let's do that last verse one more time. Number 4. and I have brought to thee down from my home above. Salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me?
Amen. Been in much prayer this week about what to preach and even how to preach it. And I sat down yesterday and was starting to put it on paper. And I walked away from the computer saying I was done and saying the Lord's going to have to take it because I still don't know how He wants me to preach it. I said, "Preacher, it's time." I mean, game bell's already started. It's time. Well, Lord knows about it, doesn't He? And He's still going to have to take it. I've got some notes here that I've jotted down, but I do believe that He knew who was going to be here when He put it on my heart. And as you see the passage of Scripture, the Lord's going to preach from it. I don't care how you want to describe it there. You're going to see how everything comes in place. Brother Russell had texted me and said that he was not feeling well and wasn't going to be at church today. And so I had texted Brother Richard, gave him a heads up. He said, "Preacher, why'd you do that?" Well, I was just being generous to Brother Richard because I could have just waited till he got here. But and I didn't tell Brother Richard, and he'll tell you that. I didn't tell him what I was going to preach. I know some preachers, and I don't want to chase this too long, some preachers will tell their song leaders what to sing. I think it's great when God gets in it. And I don't have to tell them what I'm preaching. They've prayed about it, and they've been God's laid some songs on their heart, and everything comes into place. And I stand at awe. It's funny to me when a missionary or an evangelist will get up and begin to preach about things that are going on or things that you need, and the preacher hasn't said a word. And I know there's some preachers and some evangelists that they get together and they say, "Boy, Brother Sutton needs this, and Brother Kerry needs this, and Brother Scooter needs this, or at least Sister Woody needs this." And they begin to nail down some things. But I'm not one of those preachers. And I don't do that in my song leaders. I might have a song when we get up here and we begin to sing, and we might add an extra one that God's laid on my heart. But I'm thankful that God brings everything into place. And I say that because I want you to take your Bibles and turn over the book of Luke chapter number 7. Luke chapter 7. Last week, if you would ask me what we were preaching or what I was going to go to this week, I would have told you it was the prodigal son. I'd been reading and God had really just kind of been dealing in my heart. And I hadn't even came to Luke 15, but God had been dealing in my heart about some issues gearing towards the prodigal son. And I had been in prayer about it, and God said, "No, I want you to look at Luke 7. And so if you would, when you get there, Luke chapter number 7, verse number 36. Luke 7 and verse number 36. I'd like us to look at this passage of Scripture. And I realize I'm going to read quite a few verses because I want us to see the whole account. Jesus is coming here to Simon the Pharisee's house, and he's going to meet this woman, or this woman is going to come to him. And I want you to see not just the woman and not just Jesus and not just Simon, but I want you to see how all of everything works together just so that it's fresh in your mind. I don't want it to be, "Preacher, I've heard this account," or even, "Preacher, I'm not sure how it works." So we're just going to look at all of it so it's fresh. Anyone ever needs some fresh preaching? Anyone? You know, sometimes we forget some details time and time. So don't get upset at the long verses here. Normally, I don't try to read this many because it's more than what some read in an entire week. But notice, if you would, Luke chapter number 7, verse number 36. "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him.
And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Verse 39, now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. Verse 44, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he saith to the woman, or said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for this day. Lord, it's just so good to be back in your house among your people, Lord. I do praise you that we're able to have YouTube, and Lord, that we're able to reach those. There's some today that are sick that weren't able to be at service today. And Lord, I'm thankful that we're able to have church right there in their living room with them, and they can be a part. But Lord, it is so great to be in your house. Oh, Father, I need you today. I don't know how to preach this. Sure, Lord, I've came up with an outline and I feel the direction that you want me to go, but Lord, I don't know how to say it. And Lord, I need you today. I need you to use me. Oh, Father, I know I fall short so many times, and I'm just a man. I'm just flesh and bone. And Lord, I need your Spirit. I need a fresh anointing from on high. I need you to use me in such a manner, Lord, to speak to the hearts of your people. Lord, it's a day of rejoicing that we're able to come back. But Lord, it's a day. Every day is a day of rejoicing in being your child. Help us today. Lord, just speak to hearts. You receive all the glory for it. And Father, we'll praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I look at this and I want to classify or clarify a few things. In the book of Luke, we find this account where Jesus is coming to the Pharisee's house, which his name is Simon. And he's bid Jesus to come. And you say, well, preacher, there's another account of Jesus coming and having his feet anointed, and it was all the same. Now, hold on a second. It wasn't. Because in the book of Matthew, in the book of Mark, and in the book of John, it's recorded a few days or a day before Passover that Mary, the sister of Martha and the sister of Lazarus, has came and anointed his feet with an alabaster box full of spikenard. And I bring us this, and I want us to understand this isn't the same two accounts. There's some out there that say that this was Mary of Magdalene, who he had cast out seven demons there in Luke chapter number 7. And may I tell you that the Bible does not support that. That's man bringing it to that place. And this is an unnamed woman that has came. And there's some that would say that she had came because her sins had already been forgiven. And I'm going to tell you that there's a verse in here that we find that they had not been forgiven yet. She had came because she wanted to come to get her sins forgiven, but she had not had them yet. He had said that her sins are, that's present tense, many. Amen. I'm not an English scholar. I'm better, far better at math and far better at science and physics than I am English. But I can tell you that are means that you're still holding them. But I do find in there that he says that they are forgiven. That means that she's not waiting for them. And truly for us to read it, we would say that her sins were many because they are forgiven. Amen. I know that there's people that haven't got as excited about that as I am. I'm thankful that my sins were many, but they still are forgiven. Amen. And so we take this into account and we begin to understand that these are two different women. We begin to understand that she didn't know him at the time. She knew of him. There's a difference. There's a big difference. There's many today that have heard of the name of Jesus that know of him, but they do not know him. We know that she knows. The Bible tells us here that when she knew in verse 37 that Jesus sat at meat, it doesn't say that she knew him personally. You say, preacher, why would the woman be unnamed? I'm just going to tell you what I believe. And I know I don't preach my opinions, but I'm going to tell you why I believe this. It's important that she's unnamed because it could be any one of us. It could be any one of us coming to Him. And it's very important that we understand this, that every one of us are related. And I know that some of the men are going to stand up and they're going to say, this was a woman. She was derived of man. That's why it's woman. Amen. Listen, she was derived from a man. May I tell you that her root came from man? May I tell you that any one of us are applicable in here? That every one of us could have been just like her. In fact, if we were to read this verse, that we find in verse number 37, it would be, and behold, put your name right there in the city. So it would say that, and behold, Richard from the city came in. And behold, Lindsay from the city came in. You say, preacher, why is that so important? Oh, it's very important. Because it wasn't just a specific person. It could have been anyone in that city. In fact, truth be known, it needed to be everyone in that city. And so, we don't even know why Simon had invited Jesus. By this time, the Pharisees had already had such a distaste for him. They had already came to the place that they hated his doctrine. They had already refused the teaching and the preaching of John the Baptist, and they chose not to have it. And so why did he invite to entertain him? Maybe it was to be entertained himself. He wanted to see what he could be. I remember the account in the Bible. It teaches us that Herod desired to see Jesus. It tells us here in the very opening of our text that this Pharisee desired Jesus to sit and eat with him. And so he desired for him to come. Maybe it was even to ridicule him. Maybe it was to gain a blessing from him. Because as much as people don't want Jesus as their Savior, they don't mind the blessings that he gives. Amen. And so we don't understand, and as important as it is, we'll never understand why he came. He didn't even believe that he was Jesus as the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Look at verse 39. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet. Now understand this. He wasn't considering him to be God. At tops, he would have considered him to be a prophet. This man, He didn't look at Jesus as if he was the Messiah. He didn't invite Jesus to come because this is God, this is my Savior. No, he invited him for some other reason, to satisfy the flesh. It's important to understand that no one has little sin. I look at the account of this and we find the parable that Jesus teaches about the certain creditor that had two debtors. And one, and listen, I don't care if we go back and we do the math of how much 500 pence would be. Or 50 pence. You can just hear it in the two words. You owe 500 pence. I could point to Jeremiah right now and tell him he owes 500 pence. And he'd go, okay, you want a matchbox car. But you can hear the two terms. One owed 500 pence and the other 50. Which one just sounds smaller? You understand what I'm saying? And there's people out there today that say that I just have a little sin. There's no such thing. May I tell you that it's the same amount of grace to save a child as the same amount of grace that it takes to save an adult that's out there that's been a drunkard, that's just wrecked their entire life? The only difference is more scars. I'm just being honest. I'm not trying to be ugly. But there's more scars. But it's the same grace. The same amount of grace. The problem is this man thought that he had less than this woman. May I tell you where we are as a society? We begin to see that everyone else has more or less than what we do. But may I tell you a sad fact? That they both could have been forgiven. I find in verse number 42 that the creditor was willing to forgive both. Frankly, forgiven both. May I tell you that Jesus is willing to forgive all that will come to Him. And so I look here and I find the account, and I'd like to preach about this woman for just a little bit, that she had owed much, paid nothing, and received all. Wouldn't that be a great place to be today? You owe much, you paid nothing, and you received all. Amen. Hey, listen, that's my Savior. That's how God works. Hey, I owed much. I paid nothing, and yet I received all. Amen. And I find this woman here in this account. Notice, if you would, her reputation. Her reputation. First thing that I see is her reputation disclosed her condition. It disclosed her condition. You say, preacher, who was she? She was a sinner. You know, if we were really to call her by name, we'd say, hey, there's sinner. That's who she is. That's how she's recorded. Throughout all eternity, she'll be written down as that woman that came as a sinner. You know, that's the only way that we can come. It's the only way that we can come. But I look at this and I find that she was a sinner, and this is how she stood before man. She stood before man as a sinner because Simon the Pharisee had even said within himself that this woman is a sinner. He knew her as a sinner. You say, preacher, why is that? Because you know him as a sinner. Proverbs chapter number 7, verse number 10. Now listen, I'm not trying to be ugly here. I'm not trying to be crude here. But this was a woman of the night. This was a woman that would have been a harlot. And Proverbs chapter number 7 and verse number 10, it tells us that there is an attire of a harlot. You say, preacher, how would she have been dressed? I mean, you think about the nakedness of today. May I tell you that the harlot of Proverbs 7 would blush and tell you how shameful you are for the way that society says is okay. Amen. I'm just being honest. That attire of a harlot means that she was drawing attention to herself. Because if we were to look on in Proverbs 7 and verse number 10, it tells us that she was dressed in the attire of a harlot. In verse number 11, it tells us that she was loud and stubborn in heart. You see, she drew attention to herself. It was the way that she wore it. It was the attention. And listen, it's really the same today. The attire of a harlot today just means that I'm trying to draw attention to myself by wearing less. Yeah. Amen. I mean, once again, I'm not trying to be ugly. But it identified her because of how she came in. And so I look here and I find how she stood before men. Even men recognized her as a sinner. Isn't it amazing to me? People that say that they don't believe in God, they know what sin is. You know why? Because God writes it in their heart. I love it when people tell me not to judge them. I'm not judging them. I'm just telling them that this is sin. It's wrong. It's contrary to God. That's what sin is. It's not contrary to man. It's contrary to God. And so they get upset with it. But even this woman stood contrary to God before man. It's amazing that even man wants to judge what sin is. But she stood there as a sinner. She stood there before men as a sinner. But she also stood there before God as a sinner. You say, preacher, how's that? Well, she had to stand behind him. I'm going to explain to you here in a moment why she was behind him. But did you notice that when she came, where she went, she didn't go to his face. She went behind him. Why? Because you can't stand in the presence of God with your sin. Oh, my dear friend, listen. We've got this false idea that God's going to turn a blind eye, that God's going to accept me the way I am, and I'm thankful. Listen, sinner, you don't have to clean up to come to him. But you can't come to him like you're already accepted. You still have sin. The sacrifice has to be laid. The sacrifice has to be received. Hold on. Don't run away from me right now. I know you're going, preacher, I can't save myself. I'm not saying you can. Just bear with me a minute. But this woman brought her sins to Jesus' feet. That's all she had. That's the only thing that she could plead to him. And we're going to look at that in greater detail. So don't run off with me. I'm just getting some strange looks. I don't want you to shut me off yet. But do you understand something? Her condition was a sinner, but her condemnation was already there as well. You see, her reputation condemned her, did it not? Was she not condemned to man? Men condemned her. She's a sinner. Hey, this woman, boy, I wouldn't want her. Listen, if there was a woman of the same reputation that walked in here, women, you'd be mad if she sat by your husband because you'd be worried that she'd try to seduce him. Women, you wouldn't want her to sit by you. Men, you wouldn't want her to sit by you because you'd think that you might get something from her. I'm not trying to be ugly. But she was filthy, wicked lifestyle. You know, that's what sin really is. It's a filthy, wicked lifestyle. I don't care if you're approving telling a little white lie. And that, like we like to call it, a little white lie. I just didn't want to hurt their feelings. Or I'm just trying to cover this up. No, we lie for our own flesh. We do. Because there's a way to tell someone the truth with love. Amen. I've told you before, it's the preacher that always gets in trouble because he tells the truth. But we're all right because we know politicians lie. I was going to tell you in the announcements that one of my two favorite days of passing has already passed. You say, preacher, what's that? Halloween. I'm glad when it's over. Yeah. I am. Well, by the way, I'm not promoting to go today because I still believe the Old Testament way of not going out and buying everything on Sunday. Amen. But the candy, it's 50% off at Walmart today. Amen. There's a reason to celebrate Halloween right there. Amen. But the other favorite day that I'm looking for passing is Tuesday. You say, preacher, why is that? They'll quit calling me. Amen. Anyway, I find that it displayed her condemnation. Her reputation was shameful. You know where we are today? Hold your place in Luke chapter number 7, but turn over to John chapter 8. Her reputation was shameful. Her sin was shameful. I want you to look at John chapter number 8, and I don't know that I'm going to read all of it, but if you're writing it down, it's in verse number 1 through verse number 11. We find here that Jesus is in the Mount of Olives. It's early in the morning, and he's preaching there in the temple. And these scribes and the Pharisees bring to him this woman, and the Bible records her as being caught in the very act of adultery. Now, they're bringing her because, well, they're trying to trick him. She's just caught in the middle. You don't even know that this wouldn't have been the same woman. You don't even know that this woman wouldn't have known the woman that came to his... You understand what I'm saying? This woman was caught in the very act. Now, I once again, I'm not trying to be ugly here, but they did not wait for her to get dressed. They would have yanked her up, and they would have brought her shamefully to him, trying to shame her. and trying to catch him. And it goes on in this account that they bring her, and they're in John chapter number 8. And they're trying to find out what he's going to do. Now notice this. Verse number 4, it tells us at the very end that she's caught in the very act. And then in verse 5, they're wanting to know that the law, Moses, had commanded that she should be stoned. Now, they're only using half of it. Because in the law that God gave Moses, by the way, it wasn't Moses' law, it was God's law that he gave to Moses, that Moses passed down to the people, that the people all said, we agree to. Amen. And with that, both were supposed to be stoned. The man and the woman. And so they say, well, what do we do? Notice this. Look at verse 7. And so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, it's very important. I want you to understand she changed her lifestyle. I don't want you to walk away from here saying, preacher said I could do that and God doesn't condemn me. No, 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 no. There's a shame in it. Sin always has a shame. The problem that we have today is there's no shame in sin. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Everyone broadcasts it onto Facebook. They're okay with it. One of the reasons that the preacher doesn't want one isn't just because I don't want to see the world smut. I don't want to see a lot of church members smut. I'm telling you, when I come up and preach, I don't want you to go, well, he saw that on my Facebook page. Now I can just let you know that the Holy Spirit saw that on your Facebook page. Amen. And so we look here and there's no shame in the sin of today. Oh, you say, preacher, you're condemning that sinner. No, no, no. I'm condemning the sin. We're to love the sinner. Jesus loved this woman. Both in John 8 and in Luke 7. He loved this woman. He wanted to see her saved. And so I find here that there's already a wage with sin. Of course, we know, take your Bibles, you're right there in the book of John. Look at John chapter number 3, verse 17. We already know Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. But we know that there's already condemnation. You see, this world that says, I don't like the way that you preach, this world that says that I don't agree with that Bible that you have, and I need a perversion, I need a watered-down Bible so that it's not going to condemn me of my sin. May I tell you, it doesn't matter if that watered-down version that you call a Bible condemns you, you're already condemned before God because you're a sinner. And this woman was a sinner. And so I look here at John chapter 3 and verse 17. It says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, I want to back up for a moment, because this world has perverted this. And they said, well, I believe. And the problem is, in the book of Romans chapter number 10, we find that believing is with the heart, not with the head. And so it goes on and it says that, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world in verse 19. And the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Oh, I'm thankful that she was coming. And so I look here. First of all, I find her reputation, but then I find her resolve. Her resolve. This woman made a decision, did she not? Her resolve is the fact that she's determined to come despite the host. Despite the host. You say, preacher, what did it have to do with anything? She was not coming to religion. She wasn't coming for reform. She wasn't coming to a place where man could criticize her. Man could mold her. Man could shape her. You say, preacher, I thought that you was a church man. Oh, I'm absolutely a church man. The problem I have is that church membership doesn't save you. Church membership wouldn't help her in this condition. Oh, sure, listen, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But he wasn't wanting to give her the Word of God. He was wanting to give her man's traditions and clean her up and get her set in a different set of garments and get her acting right and doing right. And may I remind you that the maniac that was at the tomb of Gadara, that he had cut himself and they had tried to reform him before. You say, preacher, how's that? They tried to put him in chains. May I tell you, one of those chains is the chains of religion. There's many today, and I love it. People go, man, I didn't know that there was churches like this. I thought this is what church was supposed to be. Hey, when we went back, and I guess it was at my grandma's funeral. No, I don't remember. One time we went back to Kansas, and I preached there at the little church in Yates Center. And the pastor there is actually from, his wife is from Statesboro. And he asked me when I had got done preaching that night, he goes, can I ask you a question? I was like, sure. And he goes, did you preach that way before you went to the South? I was like, well, I wasn't called till I was in the South. So I guess no. But I thought this was what it was supposed to be. I thought you were supposed to have some life in church. I didn't realize that you were supposed to sit there and not move and everything's to be cold and there wasn't to be no amens and there wasn't to be no hands lifted and there wasn't to be no hallelujahs. Listen to me. He wanted to put her in religion and she came to spite him. It didn't matter what he said. She wasn't worried about the host. She didn't come for religion. May I tell you as well, she didn't come for hypocrisy. You say, preacher, are you calling me a hypocrite? Isn't that the number one reason people always give that they won't come to church? You know why? The Pharisees were hypocrites. They wanted her to be in this chain of religion, but they wouldn't put themselves in it. May I tell you, what this world doesn't need today is double standards. It's not what we need. We just need the truth, and then we need to live it. You see, there's many out there today that say that they love the Lord. Oh, I'm telling you, it makes me so sick when someone will tell me how much they love the Lord and then they are so contrary to Him. I'm not trying to be ugly, but does it not get under your skin when you hear all of these? And politicians include, listen, they can call me and bug me. I can put them on YouTube. I'm sick and tired of politicians that stand up, use foul mouth, and care about no one but themselves, and they say how much they love Jesus so that they can get a vote. How corrupt. Amen. That's no different than this man. He said he loved God, but he's going to crucify the Son of God. He's going to be mad at Jesus because he said, before Abraham was, I am. Isn't it amazing? This woman had already made up her mind. I'm not coming for you, Simon. I'm coming to the Savior. Notice this. That she had a resolve. She was determined to come despite the host, but she was determined to come demonstrating humility. Demonstrating humility. May I tell you how bold she was to come, and yet how humble she was to come. She knew what she was. May I tell you that there was no one in that room that needed to tell her what she was. She knew what she was more than the Pharisee knew what she was. She didn't know what she was more than Jesus knew, but she knew what she was more than Pharisees and every other man that was standing there. You know where she had to come? To the place that she was willing to come before all of them, because I'm not coming for them. I'm coming for Him. I look at the humbleness that she came and the humility that she had. She came behind Him. She didn't even present her face to Him. She couldn't have. You say, preacher, how did He know it was her? Because He already knew her name. You see, she came at His feet. Now, I don't know how to do this to get you to see it, but I want you to see the posture that He would have had now. As they were sitting at the table, this was the custom of the day. They would have had a bench-style seat. their feet would have been behind them like this. Now, it's not that comfortable. I don't know how they sit and why they sit, but this was the custom of the day. They would have sat like this. And they would have been sitting in this position. You say, "Preacher, why is that so important?" I want you to see where he's facing and where she is. I want you to see how she would have walked up. Not one time did she look him eye to eye. I know all these say, "Boy, I'm just going to look Jesus in the face and I'm going to tell him what I think." Or, "I'm going to look Jesus in the face and I'm going to hug him." Even John put his head on his breast. Amen. And so I look and I find her coming. There's not a doubt in my mind that when she walked in that room, she was walking like this. She couldn't pay attention to what everyone else said. She had already determined that she was coming to him. And the only way that she could come to him was to humble herself. Listen to me. Even sinners have pride. That's the very first thing she had to get over, was it not? If I come, they're going to call me bad things. If I come, they're going to laugh at me. If I come, I'm not in that class. May I tell you that she didn't come to sit at the table with him. She wasn't a guest. She didn't come to sit at the table. She came to anoint his feet. She came to plead at his feet. She didn't come to be equal with him. She came to be that sinner that needs a Savior. You see, the importance that we have is that we've got to come to that place where we humble ourselves. She came to be servant. You say, "Preacher, why in the world would she come to be the servant? Why would she even show up?" I want you to look at John chapter number 7. I want you to look at verse number 34. And if this doesn't get a hold of you, I'm telling you, my friend, you need to check up. Luke chapter 7, verse number 34. Now, I know I started this in Luke chapter number 7 and verse number 36, but I want you to see two verses before where we started, why she would have came. Why in the world would this woman come? Oh, because she didn't just have a reputation, he had one too. And his reputation is found here in verse number 34 of Luke 7. "The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, Behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber and a friend of publicans and sinners." Woo! And she heard that this man that's a friend of publicans and sinners is sitting at Simon the Pharisee's house. She said, "Woo! I'm one of those. Woo! I can go to him. Woo! I need the help." Oh, I know you're saying, "Preacher, you're getting too carried away. Preacher, you're getting too wound up. I don't know that there is such a thing." She said, "I'm going to that man. Why? He's my friend." And she said, "It's time." Notice this. I find not just her resolve, I find her rendering. Her rendering. We find in this passage of Scripture that she was bringing an alabaster box in verse number 37. This harlot, this sinner, this woman of the night, this woman of ill repute is coming with an alabaster box. You say, "Preacher, what's so important about that box?" I'd like to explain an alabaster box to you for a moment. That alabaster box, if we were to describe what kind of material alabaster is, we would say that if we could cut a hole in the sheetrock and pull that sheetrock out right now, and I could pull off the paper of the sheetrock, that gypsum stone that we call it today would be about the equivalent of an alabaster. And this alabaster box was made in such a way that they would take it and they would pour it into a mold. They could make it into a liquid kind of the same as they do with our sheetrock, and they would pour that in, and then they would have it to where it would be hollow. It would be nothing more than a vase or a container. It's considered an alabaster box, and they would drill a hole in the top of it. And then they would fill it with ointment or perfumes. Normally very expensive perfumes. If this, and the Bible doesn't tell us what ointment this was, but if this was spikenard, this would have been about a year's worth of salary to them in this little box. And then they would take wax and they would cover the whole of that spikenard, or of that alabaster box. You say, "Preacher, I just don't understand the importance of it." I want you to understand that this alabaster box represents us. Ourselves coming to him. You say, "I know you're going to go, 'Preacher, you're calling me a box.' Well, sometimes we are, aren't we? Dumb as a box of. But I'm not really calling you dumb. Brother Richard's the only one in here that takes offense to that. But she came in this manner. Everything that was precious to her is represented in this box. And it's not just in the fact that she's carrying it to him, and she's carrying it there with her possession, and she's coming, but in order to use the box, you have to break it. You say, "Preacher, why couldn't you just poke a hole in the wax?" And no, you see, it was sealed. The only way to use it was to break the box open. You know what she rendered at his feet? She rendered sins for atonement. She brought them all. "This is me. This is everything I am. And I can only come here. And I'm broken at his feet." Not one time did she look up. She breaks the box after she has already cried to wash his feet, dried his feet with her hair, kissed his feet with her lips, and now has anointed his feet with the ointment that was in that box that was broken for him. And I don't know if I can sing it, but I wrote down the words to the chorus of this song that I was telling you about, the beggar and the king. And it just simply goes, "I traded for riches the rags of my soul. I gave to him the pieces, and he has made them whole. I brought to him nothing, and he gave me everything. Oh, he found the beggar, and I found the king. Yes, I am the beggar, and Jesus is the king." You know what this woman knew? Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And she brought and she rendered that at Jesus' feet with sincere affection. You say, "Preacher, she's saved because of what she did." No, 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 no. Hold on a second. Her affection shows her heart, does it not? You know what she was sincerely affectionate for? That she knew she was a sinner and she knew that he was the Savior. You know what she was sincerely affectionate for? Or why she was sincerely affectionate? Because she knew that if she asked him to save him or her, that he would. Isn't that a great place to be? Amen. It was the fact that, oh, listen, when she came in that room, and I don't know how to split the hairs. I've had people tell me that I got saved when I got to the altar. I've had some say that they got saved, but when they left their pew, and then they just made it real when they got... I don't know. But I'm telling you that when this woman came in, her heart was already moved to him because she had loved him for what he was going to do in her life. The Bible tells us that the Lord is near to them with a broken and contrite heart. You know what she had? A broken and contrite heart. With her tears, she had washed his feet. With her hair, she dried them. You know, it's amazing to me that she couldn't kiss his lips, because that's for the bride. But she kissed his feet. She anointed his feet because she wasn't worthy to come to his head. In the Hebrews chapter number 1 and verse number 9, it says, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." And so I look here and I find her rejoicing. She's rejoicing. You say, "Preacher, how's that?" Well, in verse number 48 and 50, I want you to see this. In verse number 48 through 50, the Bible says, "And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven." Now, I gave you verse number 47 earlier, in the fact that he said, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are," present tense, "many, are right now forgiven." Whew. verse number 49, it says, and they sat at meat with him, began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. And so I find her rejoicing. First of all, I find that she's able to rejoice from her forgiveness. She no longer has to carry that title around, sinner. Now she can carry the title around, saved. She doesn't have to worry about what others say, and it wasn't because of some work that she had performed. Did you see that in verse number 50? It said, thy faith. Thy faith. Why? Because that's what it still is today. It's still faith. You see, the problem that we have as society is we think that we need to be a part of it. But no, it's still all by faith. It's still everything by faith. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace, through faith, are you saved. By grace, through faith. How do you receive it? Through faith. It's grace. It's unmerited favor. You didn't deserve it. You can't get it on your own. The only thing that you can do is trust Him for it. You know what she did when she came? She was trusting Him to be a friend of publicans and sinners, just like His reputation. Aren't you glad that He's got the reputation of Savior? Aren't you glad? Listen, you say, preacher, I'm saved. Boy, this is a message we need to have a ton of lost people here for. May I tell you that the ones that love it most should be the saved. We have that reason to rejoice that He's still the one. His reputation of being a friend to the publicans and sinners, praise God, I'm thankful He is. Amen. And it's the true reputation. And she can rejoice because her sins, which were many, are now washed white as snow. I think about Romans chapter number 5. If you've got your Bible there, we've got time. Romans 5, look over there at verse number 9. We could really start, and I always sign Romans 5, 8 after my name as pastor because it's my verse, the one I love. And the fact that Christ loved me so much that He was willing to die for sinners. He's still saving old sinners. Isn't that a great thing? He's still saving old sinners. This woman couldn't have came as a Pharisee. You say, preacher, I mean, the Pharisee could have been saved. You just said it yourself. Oh, he could have been if he saw himself as a sinner. What kept him from getting saved? He wasn't a sinner. Verse number 9 of Romans 5. It says, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. I told you I'm not going to preach about the dead. I'm going to preach about the living. Amen. You know this woman? We don't know her name, but we're going to know her in heaven. We're not going to know her as sin or sinner. But she's going to, I don't know, she might wear the Luke 7, 36 to 50 woman name tag. I don't know. I don't know how we're going to identify her, but she's there. This isn't just a story. This is a real woman. Why? Well, she was justified by the blood. She was justified by the blood. Now look in verse number 11, it says, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. She might have not been welcome at Simon's house, but she was welcomed at my Father's house. And she has a reason to rejoice. I find that she's able to rejoice in her forgiveness, but she's able to rejoice in her freedom. You say, preacher, where do you see that? In verse number 50, Jesus told her to go in peace. I know, hold on a second. I said that in a foreign language. She's able to go in peace. You know what she had as a sinner? No peace. You know what sinners are looking for? Same thing you were looking for when you was a sinner. You're trying to find something to fill that void. You're trying to find something to help you. Listen, aren't you glad that as a child of God, we can go, we know what real peace is. We were discussing, I guess it was yesterday, the sadness of alcoholism. In the fact that they can't mow their lawn, they can't function. Boy, they're always looking for that happiness or that void to be filled. How sad. But Jesus says, look, you've got a reason to rejoice now. You're free. You don't have to look any further. You're free. You can have real peace in Him. Oh, listen, my dear friend, I don't know. This is the message that God gave me. Maybe it's just so that we can rejoice in that we were that sinner. We were that woman that came down and, Lord, I'm not worthy. And we had to get past ourselves. We had to get past pride so that we could come to His feet. And lay our sins there. That's all I had. Those old rags of my soul. Lord, I don't have anything to offer. But I'm thankful He let me receive salvation through Him. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Preacher, I know I'm saved. When's the last time that you've rejoiced in being an old sinner saved by grace? Maybe you'd say, Preacher, I need to be saved. Oh, my dear friend, would you be willing to be that woman? And I know you're going to say, well, I'm not like she was. That's okay. Don't be like he was. And say you didn't have the sin that she had. And then get saved. Salvation's for all sinners. But may I tell you as well, salvation's only for sinners. Jesus himself said, I didn't come to save those that aren't sick. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. May I tell you, you need to get lost before you can ever get found. I don't know your need today, but I do know that God wants to have His way in your heart, whatever the need. Maybe you're even on YouTube and you'd say, Preacher, I don't know. How do I get saved? My dear friend, the only way you can come is the same way that this woman come. Just humbly to Him as a sinner, without any hope but in Him. And you know what's great? He already knew who she was, and He already knows who you are. Would you come and, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you come and ask Him to be your Savior? That's what she did. She had no hope, but she came to His feet. I'm thankful His feet are still there today. If we'd come, let's stand. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Sure is good to be in Your house, but it sure is good to have Your truth of salvation. Lord, I pray, most of all, maybe there's one that's listening, maybe there's one that's here, Lord, that's never trusted You as their Savior. Lord, they've heard of You. They might have even invited You to dinner. But Lord, they've never received You as Savior. I pray You'd speak to that heart today. But then, Lord, as well, I pray for that child of God. Lord, I don't know what the need of the heart is. I don't know. Maybe it's just forgot how good it is that we're saved. Lord, would You help us today to just rejoice in the fact that I owed much, paid nothing, and yet I received all. Lord, I pray. Take this invitation. Use it to Your glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed, as the music softly plays. God spoke to your heart. Would you come? I know we kind of have this isolation, but for the most part, we kind of have our own little areas. You just need to pray, just need to rejoice. You want to come up to the front pew? This one side's open over here. It's up to you. It's up to you. Want to pray there at your pew, that's fine too.
When God created man, He gave us liberty to choose which road of life that we should take.
You're here today, you say, Preacher, I need to be saved. Oh, my dear friend,
breaking fellowship,
I don't care what's going on. COVID's bad, but it tells a lot worse. I'd much rather you come and let me take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved for all eternity.
Child, I still love you. I'll take your fears away and turn your
life. Aren't you glad that there's a God in heaven?
Come home, my child.
That came to eat.
give you a new
that you can
life,
come to His feet.
The light, nevermore will you be alone. Just come home.
You dwelt in sweet communion with the Father. You tasted of His goodness and His love. But you've wandered far away. You chose the path that leads astray. Oh, can't you hear Him calling out your name?
Come home, my child. I still love you. I'll take your fears away and turn your night to day. Come home, my child. Give you a new life, walking in the light.